listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 1st already, if you can believe it. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, glad to be here. Happy May Day.
Happy May. Is that what today is?
Yeah, well, May Day.
Happy the 1st of May, May Day. Yeah. I thought May Day was the Russian holiday. Well, we're really getting off topic. And I guess I didn't really know what day that was. But that is neither here nor there. I am so happy to have you. I am so happy to have everybody in chat that has joined us on our live program. We appreciate your contributions, and I always love seeing you. And as always, we are thankful for those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we are going to begin with our nine abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So happy to see everybody. And, you know, we were just talking before the program, Dr. Vicki and I, about our upcoming graduation, which is going to be the 4th, May 4th, Star Wars Day. It's a holy day for two reasons. And I think you had some thoughts on that.
Well, I do, but just to backtrack, May Day, for the record.
I was actually just Googling that. I'm so happy you're bringing it up.
May Day, well, it's a really old festival, kind of marking the beginning of summer, nice weather. Yeah. And a lot of people would do like the maypole, where you ribbons around a pole and they dance around in circles. And
that's what they're doing on Wikipedia here.
So it's halfway between the spring and otherwise equinox, the June solstice kind of thing. Anyway, it's a big deal. But since that, there's been a lot of other groups to take on May Day and make it political, you know, activism and workers' rights and, yeah, you know, anti-communism.
I don't have a problem with workers' rights, just the Soviets.
It's just that a lot of different cultures take it on. So when you were mentioning, you know, some kind of Russian holiday.
I always associated it with military parades and, you know, documentaries and things, both in the Soviet Union and the Russian Federation.
It goes way back, though.
Apparently. I don't know how I got through 37 years of my life without really getting into this.
Well, it was the pre-planting time, or thereabouts. Okay. So it's that moving into a new season. So that's where, you know, of course, it depends where you are, northern or southern hemispheres kind of thing. But, no, it's a big celebratory day. And, you know, and we were talking about the graduation coming up on Saturday, and that's
May the 4th,
you know, celebration. And you know, so we were talking about, you know, when we even those small achievements that we mm-hmm. have in a lifetime, to celebrate yourself and celebrate life, and mm-hmm. although some days you think, what's there to celebrate? And, there are lots of things, and especially the graduation coming up, like even mm-hmm. that to me is an accomplishment. You know, you got to feel good about yourself that you challenged yourself to take it on and then carry on. You know, we have one student that just came back who started in 2011.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I kid you not. It's, you know, it's even Dr. Kelly had said, wow, she's back. I said, well, at least she's back. So she's just now getting, you know, her master's and PhD. So it's whatever kind of pace you go at. Some people get through really fast. Other people, because, you know, their life allows for that. Other people go slow. Mm. But it's achievement nonetheless.
Well, you know? I think it's also important to, you know, another thing we were talking about, to keep it rather vague, but we were talking about comparing yourself to others, you know, and comparing achievements and things like that. Not everybody wants the same things in life. What is an achievement for one person might not be an achievement for another. It could be a burden. It could be something they don't want. And I think that's important to keep in mind as well. Well, I can't not hit my mic.
You know, we were asking in the chat, anybody have something they want to talk about? But I'm going to say someone in the chat has said they've had an epiphany recently. Anyone looking at marriage should go through a divorce first. Then the true colors of somebody come out and you see the aspects of that said person, you know, that might change your mind. Because Dr. Mike says he didn't know what happiness was till he got married, and then it was too late. So, again, you're talking about good for one, not good for another. But I think that, number one, people change,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the author of that statement, I won't say it for the archives. People change. And when people don't feel like they're winning, and they feel like they have a loss or something to lose, you know, or they're at risk of something. Yeah, a lot of stuff comes out that you don't think someone's capable of. And it can be a surprise, so, you know, to say the least. You say, oh, I had no idea. After all this time, I had no idea that individual was capable of that.
Mm.
And I think likely the indicators are there, but as long as somebody's being satisfied,
yeah.
they don't call out those aspects, you know?
Well, and they can be hard to see at times. I don't know. I've never had anybody in my life. I mean, I've seen somebody reveal their true colors, but it was always a person I'd kind of been holding in reserve up to that point anyway. I don't know. Maybe it's my... I feel that I'm both a very trusting person, and I, you know, I like people, I trust in them, I like to believe in them, but I also have a very cynical side of me where it wouldn't shock me. But I can see that kind of thing. But you know, I think that came from, you know, growing up with, you know, uncertain people around you. But that being said, yeah, it's a tough thing. I have seen it. I have, you know... And it's sad because you kind of build a person up in your mind a lot, I think. This is what I've observed, both about myself and others. When you are in a relationship, be it romantic, you know, maybe just business, maybe a friendship, maybe a good friendship, you build a profile of a person in your mind that person responds to or reflects. And that may or may not be accurate. And also, when you do that, you're doing a couple of things. You're building a psychological profile so you can better understand and predict them, but also you're fitting them into something that you need in your life. You know, maybe you're trying to tailor them to fit an emotional need that you have or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just spitballing. And I think when the facade comes crashing down, it can be quite jarring.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think one of the things, and I think I can speak for everybody here, because, you know, the reason we come together every week is... because we want to share and learn and grow. Mm-hmm. And I know, especially when I was young, I used to believe that everyone wanted to become a better human being.
Oh.
I really did. I believed that everybody's on that wheel of life, moving forward, growing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I give the benefit of the doubt, because they're growing. And then, light bulb.
You know,
not everybody is thinking they need to grow and learn.
That's very true.
And not everybody cares about growing and learning.
Not everyone shares our value system. You know,
yeah.
I was just, I never thought that. But I think it's because I was raised in a religion where it called like 99% of the world, you know, broken and, you know, evil. So I think I kind of always thought that there are people out there that just don't try to be good. Of course, you know, I broke out of that and I realized a lot of people are trying to be good. A lot of people are trying to do the best they can and to be good people. Nobody thinks they're a bad guy. Very, very few people think they're the bad guy. Everybody has a rationalization for the things that they do.
Sure. Absolutely.
And, you know, it is something that you know, realize that even people that, you know, I've known some people that don't really care about bettering themselves. And, oh, my God, the excuses from the, hey, the world is so crappy, why should I even try? Or, you know, you have to, it's a dog-eat-dog world, you got to be brutal, you got to be cutthroat to get ahead. No, you don't. You know, there's an old saying, don't hate the player, hate the game. And I hate the player because they're what makes the game the game. You know, people choose to be a certain way. People choose to make the game what it is. You can change the game by playing differently. That's the whole thing, you know? And I'm going on a little bit of a rant. I apologize.
No, but that's, we do choose, even if, but we don't realize that, especially when you're young or naive, you know, whatever comes first, and both, that you are choosing, even if it's unconscious, because we don't think we have that kind of control when we're young. You know, you grow up thinking, well, that's the way I am, that's the way I was raised. Well, don't like it, change it. Well, what do you mean? You know? And I've always said to people, of course, it took me a while to learn this when I was young, that we decide how love acts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How is love going to act in your life?
Yeah.
How are you going to behave in a way of love? You know, people say love will conquer all. Mm. I don't know what that means. It's like, how are you behaving? You know, love doesn't beat people up. Love doesn't want to hurt people. You know, love doesn't behave that way. Not real love.
Mm.
And it's all packaged with, you know, respect and consideration and, you know, all the full meal deal.
Uh-huh.
But it also comes with, you can't give away what you don't have for yourself.
Oh, true. Well said.
So if I'm not, and I know it's cliche, if I don't love myself or have respect for myself, I can't give that away. I can preach it a lot, but I can also be diminishing of myself, which that means I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth.
You don't think that you can have a lack of respect for yourself, but also have a genuine feeling of respect for somebody else?
How genuine can it be if you don't have that?
Well, if you put somebody else up on a pedestal and you think they're the paragon of what a person should be and you think, oh, I don't like myself because I'm not that.
You know, well, it just means that you're creating that illusion of somebody.
Well, true enough.
That you want to be because you're not that yourself. It's what you said earlier, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes back to that.
True enough. But
I mean, it's, I think that we project a lot of wants, a lot of desires. But unless they're actually doing and participating in that, it's just a whole lot of talk.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think the notion that love conquers all is, you know, it's idyllic. It's it doesn't fit the real world because the real world is brutal. But what you can say is that love, or to be maybe put better, being, you know, each other, you know, whether it's a romantic partner, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, having people to help carry the burden in life, even if it's just somebody to talk to vent to, it is hard to put to measure how impactful and meaningful that is. You know, no one is an island. We all need people. even an introvert needs something, needs some kind of something.
Well, a sharing place with others. I think loneliness is the biggest killer of all.
It is. That's why I still smoke, because, hey, at least I have friends.
You know, it's because we're a social animal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how are we sharing? How are we interacting? How are we being together? I mean, and accomplishments, I want to go back to the beginning, but accomplishments for yourself make you feel good about yourself, mm-hmm. and that energy is contagious.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it is. It's a contagion. It's, as some people can say, oh, that's very arrogant of you. I said, no. I know when I make lousy pie or lousy cake. Or
there's no such thing as lousy pie, but go on.
But I know when I did something well, at least something well for me. I don't care that you don't like my art. I feel really good about it. You see, so it's how you feel in yourself, and again, about wanting to become a better version of you, mm-hmm. and being cliche.
Like more dogs, yeah.
More dogs. Hey, but if that makes you happy, I can mock it all I want and say you're nuts, but that's not the point. I don't have them. I think it's funny.
Well, and it comes right back to the fact that, you know, there is no such thing as perfection, because there are 8 billion different versions of what perfection is. Everybody has different goals. Everybody has different desires. Everybody has something different that they want in life. And you can't really compare them. There are some similarities.
Well, maybe it's not even a matter of perfection, because everything in this moment is a perfect result of, you know, what just happened. So mm-hmm. I think it's those choices. Michael, I make fun of you because I was one who had 8 cats, you know, 50 chickens, 4 horses. And, you know, I mean, I've been there, done that. And yeah. I totally get it. I do. I totally get it. But it's about how we're feeling about ourselves at that time, and
yeah.
you know, and what we're experiencing that makes you feel good.
Oh, sure.
And of course, graduating, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's bachelor's, master's, you know, even in an online school such as this, which is a really good school,
mm-hmm.
That's big. That's huge. And I might add, there's a lot of chat going on. I have to say this for the archives. Dr. Mike and his wife will, you know, have been married 50 years. And, of course, he is making light of it. He says he's at a point in life where the part of the wedding vows, until death do us part, becomes a goal.
he's bringing out his inner Rodney Dangerfield.
I know. And it's like, that's a huge accomplishment. 50 years, mm-hmm. it's huge. That's massive in this world. And that in and of itself stands as an example.
Absolutely.
My oldest married 17 years, second one 15 years. You know, my son, he's been married for 12 years, I guess. And that's not to, I don't know. I can't imagine any of them getting a divorce, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so far, it's all working. Which, look, you're talking to somebody who didn't have that life.
Mm-hmm.
So I set an example in another way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had to rebel, right?
Well, I encouraged them to choose well. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just because I had this life doesn't mean you have to have that life.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. I got a little bit of that from my mom, you know, yeah. in the sense of lessons, right? And they were hard lessons to learn, and they were, you know, they cost a dear price. You know, she's no longer here, but, you know, I learned from her a lot of things, a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're not to denigrate my mother in any way, but, you know, she was a troubled person. But I was just going to say, your kids are far luckier to have you, because, you know, you might have taught them a lesson in one way, but you were also over there to provide reason, to provide understanding and compassion and things like that. Stability in a way, too. In that,
well, and threaten them within an inch of their life if they got in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Does that still happen? You know?
You know, Dr. Mike is saying he's not sure what happened the last 45 years. I'm with you on that, Mike. Mm. You know, I went to my doctor the other day and I looked at him and I said, I'm going to be 70 next year. Like, of course, you know, a little arthritis, a little of this, a little of that. And I said, I'm just a bundle of joy. And, you know, we had to laugh at that. But I said, well, at least I'm not ready for MAID yet, which is assisted dying here in Canada.
Oh, hey, that's nice.
And so a medically assisted induction, right? So that's kind of what it stands for. But so, I mean, you have to make light of it, but at the same time, where did it all go? Time is that elusive thing, so you do as much as you can. Even in small doses, we all have different rites of passage in our life. Mm-hmm. This 5 years is that, 10 years is that. You know, I spent the weekend in my pajamas watching Netflix. You know,
is that not a normal thing to do?
Sure, no, you know. But, I mean, that's why everyone excuse me, I'm going to cough, Michael. I think I got it. Everyone goes through different stages, but mm-hmm. it's still a progression. An evolving of ourselves and who we are. Yeah. And that's ultimately, you know, what we're looking for. Just like May Day is that coming of a new mm-hmm. season, the coming of new life. You know, flower buds and, you know, grass is green.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's green all the time in Florida, but.
Yeah, yeah. No, it actually gets kind of brown in the winter because it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
The more you know.
So,
Molly.
You know, I don't know, Jerry. Jerry just put in there that we choose people for the lessons we needed to learn from them. I don't think I go with that anymore, Jerry.
Well, I think she was talking. I took it to mean she was referring to my example of my mom.
Oh.
But yeah. But I digress. I could be mistaken.
But yeah, I think that. I think. Based on our environment, how we're raised, when we choose, we're choosing from the best of what's available and what yeah. we feel, what we think. And like you said too, Michael, emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she was referring to your comment. Whatever that life is at the moment. And, you know, we give it our best shot. And very often, I can say this, very often you say, ooh, I didn't know that was in you. I missed you know, that one. That's a game changer.
Yeah. Well, what would you do? Do you think it's a game changer, meaning their fundamental values shifted?
Yeah.
In your perception, at least?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, it's a confession, everybody. The last fellow I was with for a few years, I found out he put $350,000 in the casino.
Oy. How much did he get
a game
out?
Game changer.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm
I can
out
see.
Of
here. Well, in here, you know, I think it's expectations come into a lot of this, and that's something I wanted to touch on too, because your expectations can shape so much. If I was in that situation, you know, I tend to see people as having, you know, and I hate to use the terminology because I do believe that we are all perfect works in progress. But if you'll forgive me for a moment, I think that we all have our certain flaws, and I think that people will at times give in to escapism. And that's really what it is, escapism, trying to chase a feeling, chase the dopamine, sure. chase something because you don't want to feel the way you're feeling.
Did the intervention, did mm-hmm. the therapy, did all that stuff.
And it's sad. You know?
It wasn't
it's
working.
It's a weakness, and it's something that I've looked at, you know, when alcoholism, you know, is it a disease? Yeah, sure. Is it a choice? Yeah, it is. A little bit of both.
The only thing I had to ask myself is this taking me down?
Mm-hmm.
Is this harming the value of my life?
Well,
that's all I had to ask myself.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everything got irritating to him. You know, mm-hmm. everything was irritating him. Well, that's just not how I'm going to live. So, game changer.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, every, let's say, something that you realize about somebody, it usually comes in a package. It's mm-hmm. not a singular event. There's a whole dynamic, a whole psychological dynamic to it. But this is the same guy who would read Buddha quotes on his email every morning.
Yeah.
You know, that spiritual wannabe.
I whenever I see people like that, to me, it has always screamed at me that it is less important for them to be away than for them to be perceived by others as being away. Mm. They want the social benefits that come with, you know, being that type of person. Would you guys get out of here?
Yeah.
Speaking of dogs, they keep walking over the audio cables, which causes feedback. But
I'm glad to hear even Dr. Kevin is mentioning how fortunate he is, you know, mm-hmm. to be in his partnership. And I admire that. I think that's so, it's wonderful. And I'm way past any envy or any desires or, you know, whatever for that. I'm just so happy for people.
Yeah.
And I can be happy for people because I can be happy for myself.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely. I am happy to be whole. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be my own boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy to do that. Look, are there stresses in life? Absolutely. Are mm-hmm. there challenges? Whoa, yes, there are.
You know,
but for the most part, that's why I can't give away something I don't have for myself. And I absolutely believe that, everybody.
You know, it's a weird thing about life. You had talked about, do we have stressors? I submit to you that if we did not have any stressors or any challenges, if you will, in life, that itself would be a negative thing. I have often and long said that boredom is as much or more destructive than any other human, you know, trait or experience or anything like that. I cannot tell you how many people I have known that are enthralled with chaos, with drama. You know, I have known many people, my mother included, where it is preferable for them to feel pain than to feel emptiness, than to feel nothing. They would rather have something dramatic, something to talk about going on than nothing. I think reality TV has exacerbated that trend, perhaps, in society.
It sure has.
I mean, and I frankly, you know, we are so, you know, we're just going to breeze right by this after this comment, but we are such an angry society right now. Everybody is angry at everybody else all the time. And yet, really, things have never been better in a lot of ways. We have stressors, sure, but we have more. The average person has more free time. The average person is better fed. The average person has more living space. On and on and on. Yet, so angry.
Well, I know we've talked about this before, Michael, that mm-hmm. people should just calm down and give each other a break. I mean, really. Why do we need to comment on something you don't like? Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't like it. Move on.
Because you're bored. And when you're bored, it feels like emptiness. And if you don't fill it with something positive, you're going to fill it with something negative.
Well,
I think that's just a law of humanity, to be honest with you. I'm just spitballing here. Don't quote me on this, unless it's true.
Well, I think that as individuals, this is where it all comes back to, as individuals, is to know that we are continuing to grow, even if it's in this great adversity. And how am I managing through these challenges? What's my attitude about it? You know, how am I going to not have road rage? How am I going to deal with somebody who's rude at the grocery store? You know, all those things, they're very internal workings, internal mechanisms that we face in ourselves every day. And if we continue to improve ourselves, like just continue to improve,
mm-hmm.
we take that with us. I totally believe that. All I know is I have to live with myself, and I'll answer to that when I leave. I mm-hmm. believe that. You know, I know Ricky Gervais says, when we're dead, we're dead. That's it. Over. But maybe that's true, but I'll live in my fantasy for a moment.
You know, just speaking for myself, I had to get to a place, you know, for my own comfort and to be happy, where if that was what it is, fine. Because I had to be reflective of the fact that, you know, I don't, I, I'm not in some kind of rich stratosphere. I'm not wealthy. I don't have a lot of these things, but my very place in the modern world, in the first world, even if it's middle class and lower middle class, I have been able to enjoy my life to a level that most humans in history never have. And I appreciate that. And if this is all it is, then fine. Because I have, you know, it makes me think, and I can't recite it from memory, but that wonderful speech with, from Teddy Roosevelt, where he talked about, better to be in the arena than to be, you know, cowering on the sidelines. But I have felt triumph. I have felt, you know, defeat. I have seen the texture of life. I have loved. I have been loved. I have lost love. Mm-hmm. It is, I have lived. And that is not something that everybody can say. And I hold on to that. And if this is all there is, I am grateful for at least that much. I don't think so. But if this is all there is, then I can at least be grateful for this. But I still look forward to what might be beyond.
Well, I'm totally with you on that, Michael. You know, just because we can't control something and hang on to it doesn't mean we ought not to be blessed for having had it. See?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see that. Dr. Mike has made a really good comment. Greed and keeping up with the Joneses is a big driver in anger.
Oh, yeah.
And competitiveness. Whoa. You know, it's all over.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dr. Zach has said...
read my mind.
Yeah. He said some of these groups on Facebook are so full of angry, you know, people projecting their hurt and trauma all over the place. That's part of it. I've had talks with people about why are you venting on Facebook? Like, why are you... And I don't mind challenging. Like, what do you hope to gain by that?
Yeah.
You're wanting acknowledgement. You're wanting validation. You want other people to feel pain, and you want to feel better that they're feeling pain. Like, why? Mm-hmm. And you want them to be as angry as you are, so you justify your position on something. Like, why do you need to do that?
Well, I let me jump in here because I'm thinking, reflecting on myself a lot right now. I love to argue, by which I mean I love a debate. I love to be challenged. I have said before, my personal version of hell is being in a place where everybody agreed with me about everything. I need to be challenged. I need somebody to disagree with me. I need to spar. I love it. And I never try to denigrate somebody. Some of my best friends in my life, you know, throughout the decades, have been people who don't think like me. And we have wonderful conversations. And we come away from it still having affection for one another as friends. We don't tear each other down. We exchange ideas and we debate and we have that kind of classical argument. So if you see somebody out on the internet that's just constantly, you know, poking at things, I'm sorry, that's me.
Wendy has said debating is healthy.
I think so.
Well, I think it is too. I think because it's a discussion. Sorry, cool. But you're not out to hurt anybody. You're not out to compete. There's not a judgment or putting somebody down, you know, in that competitive way. It's just a sharing of ideas and even being a little antagonistic to poke the bear because you don't know how they're thinking. I want to know how you think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I have actually irritated a lot of people being just a little bit, or even making a joke about something that somebody didn't like. I remember a fellow many years ago. A bunch of us were out for supper, and a colleague and I made this comment about men. He got so offended.
Not all men, Dr. Vicky.
I said, hey, it's just a generalization. I haven't even started in on women yet. He still didn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels like it's like an attack on them, right?
Yeah, don't take this personally.
That's something I got over when I was a younger man in my 20s. Because I would, you know, there wasn't Twitter per se. I guess there was, but, you know, anywhere I would get, if it was something that, you know, if it was a demographic that I was a part of, you know, not all white people are racist, not all men are this, not all the blah, 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 blah. I mean, we're talking about trends, and you can't take things personally.
No.
And so moving on from that.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough if you're feeling insecure about stuff, but, you know, it's just about celebrating yourself when you do something good and, knowing it made you a little better and feeling better about yourself, not comparing to other people. But, you know, maybe I didn't get 100%. Maybe I got 85%.
Mm-hmm.
But that's better than I got back in grade school at 60%.
You know, I was very happy when college was C's and things like that, because it meant that I could not do the homework and just do really well in the exams and still pass. Because I never cared about the grades. I didn't even go for a career. I just went because I found it interesting and I liked it. It was all entertainment. Well, it was more than entertainment, but still it didn't matter what the grade was. It didn't matter if I did the class. I was there to learn what I wanted to take from it, and I kind of left the rest.
Well, just the same, we hope everybody can join in on Saturday. I know there's discussion in
Thank
the chat, too,
me.
About the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's universal time, but if you notice, Dr. Kelly's also put in the times for Pacific and Mountain and Central and Eastern time. So make sure.
Yeah.
Just check the fine print on the site, guys.
Well, both the site and there's also going to be an email going out, so take a look at that. But, yeah, you can, if you go to the graduation page, which I should have had the foresight to throw in chat, it'll have a countdown timer as well. So go with the countdown timer. But, looking forward to seeing everybody, and it'll be good because, you know, you're coming together to celebrate the victories in life, and the diploma is important, but also of equal or more importance is that you have the discipline to get through something, to learn, to expand your awareness, to expand yourself.
No matter how long it takes.
Absolutely. Whether
well,
it's from 2011 or not.
Now, Michael. So for those who have not been with us before, listening in the archives, Michael is going to pull an inner oracle self-discovery card, designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do a backup tarot card. We'll see what's shaking. So,
all
Michael,
right.
I think we have Kevin first.
Oh, well, I missed that. I'm sorry. But, all right, Kevin, thank you for keeping me honest, Dr. Vicky.
Oh.
Let's see, Dr. Kevin,
that's
for
what
you.
I'm here for.
I have wild card number 2 and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
I got the 9 of diamonds, so in tarot language, that's the 9 of pentacles. The first thing that comes to mind is I got this thing about the home. Like, if you're taking on a task at home or fixing something, don't do the Band-Aid and think you'll get to it later. Honestly, that's what comes to me. To make sure that you take the steps to get it right. But the and then some is making sure you do the and then some. I know it sounds so fortune tellerish kind of thing, Michael, but that's the flash I just had. So if there are tasks at home, Kevin, make sure you give it your all, take it to the, you know, next level, double check things, and making sure that things are complete. That's what I want to say. And even if it's in a symbolic kind of way, it's ensuring that you don't just give 70%, that you give 100%. So giving it that extra.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little message.
I like it. All right. We have Donna next. We have another wild card. Wild card number 6, entropy. All right. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy. The world is a better place.
I got strength. So, entropy and strength. What comes to me in that, Donna, is your will and your determination to maintain your own energy lesser influenced by the energy of others. It's very easy to be influenced by people, trust me. You know, you're in a gossipy situation and you want to be a part of the conversation, but you got to stop and pause and pull yourself back. Or if somebody you're around is negative, how then to stay in your own energy? So what's your entropy? So to me, this is a building of will, a building of strength that you're gaining. And there's some shifts and changes in that. So I would say even some self-realizations. And I think that's awesome. So what we were talking about tonight is give yourself, you know, a little pat in the back here. You know, I think I'm evolving.
Take every opportunity to give yourself a pat on the back.
We have Jeff, I think, next. And I haven't been in touch with Jeff since they moved. I think last weekend would have been their, he and Shauna's big moving weekend. I trust it all went well. So let's see what we've got for Jeff.
All right. I have number 15, belief system knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
You know, with the Seven of Diamonds, I want to say carry on, Jeff. Your belief system knowledge base is expanding. With that Seven of Pentacles, it's like it's reaping the benefits of all the work. It's the reward. And I know that you're probably in the middle of unpacking, organizing and things, but you're going to get this breath of fresh air and that encouragement to continue to expand, you know, your boundaries, expand your horizons, so to speak. So this is very encouraging, very positive, you know, kind of affirmation. So,
all right.
I want to thank Kevin. I have to chuckle. Looking at in the chat, he says, terrific. I have been doing so much remodeling. Thanks for this. Dr. Vicky, how do you do this? I guess I have to finish the electrical project. Thanks for the encouragement.
I like it.
Geez, I don't know. I get flashes.
All right. Dr. Jerry, so glad to have you with us. Always happy to see you. I have for you wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to yourself and others.
Well, the 8 of Wands or 8 of Clubs is, I usually see that as very fast action, and it can also be hasty. So, you know, when things are moving so fast, we can skip a beat. We can, you know, and again, this can be in a positive or negative, but with the don't hate, it's like being too hasty or too quick, you know, you could miss details. So make sure that you look at the details, cross T's, dot I's. But when you're facing challenges with people, it's very easy to become upset, and understandably so, trust me, understandable. But sometimes it's better just to look at someone and say, I have to feel really sorry for you. What an unhappy soul you are. You know? Sometimes taking that high road and seeing it from a spiritual place rather than the human emotional place. And sometimes I just say, wow, that's just pathetic behavior. It's sad. And being able to rise above that discontent in yourself, it's not easy. It's really not, especially when you've been through shock or trauma. But you know, or realizations you didn't have before. And you say, why didn't I see that before? Well, that's more an internal you thing. But when you have people behaving in unexpected ways, Michael, mm-hmm. it can be a shock. Or how do you recover? How do you behave? It's calling on the warrior in you to mm-hmm. see it through. But the warrior can also be a warrior for yourself, but not from a place of anger and hate.
An advocate.
Yeah, advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. But looking at somebody with pity, you know.
Yeah.
It's because there's a lot of behaviors that are just pitiful.
It's sad, honestly. It's a waste of potential life.
And it's a waste of my energy to be angry.
Yeah, so, true enough.
I don't know if that's of any comfort to you, Jerry, or, you know, I didn't mean to step on a toe or, you know, cross a boundary here, but that's what I get from that.
Well, I hope we can. All right, I believe we have Audra next, and Audra, for you, I have number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and communication is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Well, I want to say that something you have communicated or communicating with or in a situation is going to go in your favor. And in this case, kind of standing up for yourself. I've got the Five of Spades here. So that Five of Swords is, you know, it's that, to me, in my world, in a nutshell, it's the settling after the challenge, the settling after the difficulty. You know, everybody puts their weapons down, goes home, kind of thing. But in a matter of communications, if you've been standing up for yourself in the way you wouldn't ordinarily have done, it actually may go in your favor. You know, like... And I just feel like you're onto something here, Audra, that's going to go really well. That's what I'm saying. Better than you expect.
All right. Good message. We have our card keeper herself, Wendy, if I'm not mistaken. I think I have that right.
Yeah.
And Wendy, just a shout out to you. I saw that you have a couple of challenges on your plate right now, and just wanting to know that our thoughts and our energy was with you and wishing the very best.
Yeah.
For you, I have number 6, boundaries. I don't know that we've pulled this one in a while.
Oh.
It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Mm. Ace of Diamonds. When I see the Ace of Diamonds, I say you're going to win. So, I mean, it's perseverance, you know, with boundaries. Sometimes with boundaries, it's knowing when to say what and what to say to whom. And again, understanding their boundaries versus your boundaries. But in this case, standing up for yourself and understanding how the mechanisms work. Then you come out on top, Wendy. So I want to say persevere.
Good advice.
It's painful, but persevere. That's what I say.
All right. Now,
I think that's all the names I have.
No, we have Dr. Zoran at least, but I think he's our last card of the evening, if I'm not mistaken.
I missed Zoran, sorry.
But for you, I have number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
I like the King of Spades, provided he keeps his pride in check. Sorry, I'm not meaning to step on toes here. Or point fingers either. Evolution. A really good manager is one who knows to hire the right people for the right jobs and who's not afraid of somebody knowing more than them in that position. I really believe that. Some of the best managers I've ever known hire people who don't have that skill, but that's why you're a manager, because you're good at reading people. Mm. You're good at the overview, the big picture. Very often the King of Spades can be a little bit of an edge, you know, but I see here, Zoran, it's like coming into your own and learning new ways of managing. Sorry, I got a tickle in my throat, Michael.
I've been there.
Uh-huh. So it's like coming into realizations to yourself, like a bigger picture of just you having a wider view of life and yourself in life. So I like them.
All right.
Hey, who's? Dr. Zach.
Yeah.
Do you read that, Michael?
I did. He's obligated now. He can't back out if he wanted to, but... Dr. Zach has something that he's looking forward to talking with us next week, something incredible. I'm excited, and I know we've been wanting to have him on, so that works for me, and, you know, we're going to be looking forward to an incredible discussion. We don't want to oversell things here at Spirit of Life, but it will change your life forever.
You know, I know there's people here who don't know Dr. Zach Frame. Zach's been with the school a very long time, and we go way back. Zach has not only achieved his degree at the school, he is a reader, an astrologer, now tackling medical astrology. But this guy has more certificates than you can shake a stick at. He's an extraordinary young guy. Well, actually, not so young anymore, Zach.
You're getting come old. On now. No, Dr. Zach, you are a young man. You don't listen to her. You and me, we're both young people still.
It's fun. It is just fun. Zach was also a teacher. And so he's got lots of experience instructing and being with people. And so you're going to enjoy Dr. Zach coming on. I know we initially talked about medical astrology, but he's been doing some other things. And yeah. I can't wait to hear what he's up to.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I'm legitimately excited, and I can't wait. So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. And, I think it's kind of that time of the evening. Careful listeners might have heard my dog, Ollie, losing his mind in the background. Hmm. But he apparently very much needs to go out, so I think it is that time of the evening. And
it is.
As we start wrapping up... Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts? Other than, hey, make sure that if you have time, if you're able, we'd love to see you Saturday on May 4th for the graduation.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to reinforce that, Michael, but you did it for me. That's great, because we're on the same wavelength. So I just want to add, I'm going to throw in here.
Yeah.
Don't let them push you around out there, people.
Love it. Love everything about it. 10 out of 10, no notes. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. You know, I couldn't do this without you. There wouldn't be any Spirit of Life without you. And I thank you every time that I'm thankful every time that I get to hang out with you and talk, as well as those in the live chat. I appreciate you all. I love this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
And we're going to have Dr. Zach Frame with us next week. It's going to change your life. So until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.